Matthew chapter 7, it's verse number 6. Verse number 6, and it says this, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you." I'll remind you that we're reading the Sermon on the Mount that begins in Matthew chapter 5. It's Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. It is a long sermon. Jesus preached long sermons. All right, this one is 3 chapters long. You say, well, there's other places in Scripture that he preached. Well, we don't know that everything was recorded of all those messages that he preached to different people. He spoke to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, and it's pretty much all of the chapter. And so in a day where folks are trying to narrow it down to 8 to 12 minute sermons, the Lord Jesus Christ would not have fit in the contemporary church. He was a preacher that spent some time teaching and preaching, and his preaching was not only doctrinal, theological, obviously, but very practical. You don't have to stretch the Bible to make it practical. It's already practical if you just read it in its context. We don't have to make the Bible relevant. It's already relevant. Those that think they have to make it relevant are not looking at the Bible in the proper light. And the verse we're going to look at this morning is Jesus continuing to give his disciples, his followers, giving believers counsel. And if there's anything we need counsel. How to live this life. We don't need Dr. So-and-so's latest book on how to cope or share or anything like that. We need more of the Word of God. And the Sermon on the Mount is a wonderful presentation of biblical living in a wicked world. As we said at the beginning of our study, the context, the immediate context of the Sermon on the Mount is giving the Jews the rules and regulations for the coming kingdom. But preceding that kingdom is the 7-year tribulation period, and much of this that he talks about here is about living godly during that very difficult time which is yet to come. So we can absorb how to live practically in a wicked world by the lessons the Sermon on the Mount teaches us. We don't live in near the times the tribulation will be. And yet at the same time, we can live practically in this day in a wicked world by the precepts and the counsel that Jesus gives. So in verse number 6, and we're on letter H in our outline under concerning counsel, we're looking at counsel concerning preferment. Preferment, that's P-R-E-F-E-R-M-E-N-T, preferment. What does that mean? Well, he says, "Give not that which is holy unto dogs. Cast not your pearl before swine." You know what Jesus is saying? There are some things in our life that should take preference. There are some things in our life, the things of God are to be preferred over the things of the world. Now, you and I need to admit that all the things of the world are not sinful. Money is of this world, is it not? But money's not sinful. Money is a necessity. The love of money, according to Timothy, is sinful, but money itself is not. All right? Clothing, that's earthly. That's material. When we get to heaven, we don't need clothing. We're going to get robes of righteousness. But down here, these things, not all the things of the world are sinful. But the things of God are above and beyond anything this world has to offer. And what Jesus is trying to emphasize in this verse for his believers is that the things of God are much more valuable than anything the world has to offer. All right? So therefore, he says, "Give not that which is holy to dogs, cast not your pearls before swine." He's talking about preferring the things of God in our daily lives. Giving preference. Being discriminatory. Now, not on the basis of race or religion, but being discriminatory and valuing the things of God as the things of God. The problem with the modern church, the contemporary church, the emergent church, whatever you want to talk, the problem with the modern church of our day is that we have taken the things of God and brought them down to a human level. Instead of lifting up the things of humans and trying to bring it to a godly level. Inside the church, as you know, in our popular culture, it's taking the world, its marketing, It's lighting, it's music, it's presentation, and trying to bring all the world into the church. And the Lord says, give not that which is holy unto dogs. This is exactly the precept, the counsel the Lord is talking about in this text right here. About making a separation between the spiritual and the secular. Again, the secular doesn't mean sinful. We could say the spiritual and the carnal. And the carnal is sinful. But differentiating between the two. Making a preference on one over the other. This morning, by getting up and getting dressed and coming to church, we gave preferment to the things which are spiritual. Sunday night, Wednesday night, spring revival coming up. We give preference to the things which are more valuable. When we put the spiritual things on a higher level than the carnal or worldly things. So the counsel about preferment that Jesus gave, putting value on the spiritual over the secular. Notice number one in our outline, the explanation. All right, the Lord is going to give us the explanation. What does it mean to cast your pearls before swine? What does it mean to give not that which is holy unto the dogs? You'll excuse me as my throat is still very dry. All right, the explanation, it comes in three parts. In verse 6, give not that which is holy unto dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. The first part, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine. Notice the word holy, give not that which is holy. Cast not ye your pearls, these two things. Small letter A, the valuable. The valuable, holy and pearls. These are the things of value. Now we know that holy is the opposite of unholy. And so the Lord is saying, don't take the valuable, don't take the spiritual, don't take the things that should be preferred. And he says, cast them before the dogs. Neither the pearls. All right? How are pearls valuable? Well, throughout Scripture, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man seeking pearls. In the book of Revelation, the gates of heaven are made of pearls. So pearl is symbolical of something which is very valuable. We might in our day call it diamonds because we think of diamonds as being more. But back in this day, pearl was something, a pearl of great price. All right, something that was very valuable. And he's simply saying, don't take the things of great value and cast them to the dogs. What are the things of great value on a spiritual level? Well, number one, the Word of God. The Word of God. You know, the Word of God is not just a great piece of English literature. Now let me say this, it is. It is the epitome, it is the greatest piece of English literature that's ever been written. And again, we think of English literature. When you talk about English literature, you know what? You're going back to Moby Dick. You're going back to books that were written in a different form of English than what writers are writing in today. No great works of literature are coming off the pens of people today because our English language has just been shot to pieces. It has been watered down and it doesn't have any meaning like it used to, which is, again, one obvious reason, not to give any attention to any new Bible translations. Because if they're trying to use the modern vernacular, that's what you're going to get, modern vernacular. You're not going to get the Word of God. So the Bible, our King James Bible, is the greatest piece of English literature that's ever been written. But that's not what it's about. It's not about being a piece of English literature. It's not about studying it because of its prose or studying it because of its beauty and articulation. We study it because it is the Word of God. And when we put it on that level, we're putting something of value at the right level. The problem in our modern society, and it's not just today, but it's been this way for a long time, is we've taken the Word of God off of that shelf and brought it down to where man can manipulate it. And man can judge it and determine whether it's right or wrong. Its stories are right or wrong. Its words are right or wrong. Its verses belong there, don't. We've brought in something which is holy and given it to the dogs. And so that's what the Lord is talking about, taking something from a shelf that is spiritual and putting it on the bottom shelf. What other things are holy? What other things are like pearl? Well, the church. The church that we attend, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the body of believers, is something on this shelf up here. And yet in our modern society, in this come as you are and leave as you were mentality, where the church makes no change in you, you as a person change the church. You change it to your likes and your dislikes, your preferences and what you want. You make the church no different than going to Walmart. You ever gone into Walmart lately and seen people in their pajamas? Now, they don't call them their pajamas. Can I tell you this? The modern church, if it hasn't already happened, they're coming into church dressed that way. I've come to our church and passed some other churches in the summertime and seen how the people are dressed going into the church. Thank God we've not faced that kind of a problem here. I don't know what. I'll send Brother Eric after him when it happens. I don't know what I'll do. But if those things happen, things like that. Why does that happen? Because we've taken that which is holy and given it to the dogs. We've taken a worldly mentality over spiritual things and devalued them. And that's not something to boast about or brag about like so many do. Well, our church is just for everybody. Well, can I tell you this at BBC? Everybody is welcome, but it's not for everybody. Some folks are not going to feel, some Christians are not going to feel comfortable here. And not because we want them to feel uncomfortable, but because we are a Bible preaching, Bible believing, evangelistic, missions minded Baptist church. And that's not everybody's cup of tea, all right? We understand that. And we're not going to take it down. We're not going to bring it off the top shelf and bring it down to a different shelf to please, and this gets rough, the dogs. All right? Now, that's not my wording. That's the Lord's wording. We're not going to bring it down. So the church, the Word of God, and can I say this? And I'll just give one more this morning. The family. The family is a top shelf. Is it not? Did not God establish the family? He established a home, man and one woman and children. All right? Don't take that which is on the top shelf and bring it down here. Whatever you do, don't get your advice on family values from television. Don't watch some sitcom to figure out how your family is supposed to operate. Those, and I don't watch any of them, but those things, I get a glance every once in a while. Those are the trashiest things in the world. And I'm not talking about language or even their dress codes or anything, but just their mentality is so foreign to the Word of God and what God established a family to be. And we get fed these things from a top tier, from a top level, spiritual. Now you say, well, preacher, you're getting kind of arrogant. I don't know what the right word is. I'm just telling you this. The things of God are up here. And the things of the world are down here. And you and I are floating in between the two, are we not? Because we're spiritual creatures in a secular world. And so we've got two magnets, one trying to bring us up, one trying to bring us down, and we're in the middle. And so Jesus gave us this very practical lesson. Give not that which is holy to the dogs. Cast not your pearls before swine. Put the emphasis on the valuable. Exalt that which is important. Yes, other things are necessary in life, but accentuate that which is valuable. So the explanation, small letter A is the valuable. Small letter B. He says, cast not that which is holy unto the dogs. Neither cast your pearl before swine. Brother Marshall, if we're going to sermonize this, we'd call it the dogs and the hogs. All right, the dogs and the swine. You know what swine are? They're pigs. They're hogs. So be careful of the dogs and the hogs. Turn if you would to a verse as we start. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 22. The dogs and hogs are mentioned together in another verse. 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 22. 2 Peter verse 2, chapter 2, verse 22, Peter says this, but as it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is returned to its own vomit again. The sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. The Bible is likening dogs and hogs to the lifestyle of the unsaved. To the lifestyle of the wicked. The dog has returned to its own vomit again. Yuck. All right, that's gross, but that's a dog. A dog goes back after that which has been regurgitated. It gets stuck on the old stuff. A hog is one that you can clean it up for a little while and make it look good, but when it gets back to its nature, it's running right back into the mud again. Can you imagine taking a string of fine pearls and putting it around the neck of a pig? The first thing that pig's going to do, you clean it up, put those pearls around its neck, make it look pretty, and as soon as you let go, it's going right back into the wallow. It's going right back into the muck and the mire. The Bible is giving us a picture of hogs and swine, hogs and dogs, or dogs and swine, as the lifestyle of the wicked. And Jesus is saying, don't take the things of God and give them to those who are wicked, to those who are ungodly. Now again, you have to be able to try the spirits, whether they be of God, to separate the righteous from the unrighteous. The believer from the unbeliever. The saints from the sinners. We have to be able to determine that. And we live in a day and time where the emphasis is on don't judge anybody. Don't put them. In fact, we covered that last week in Matthew 7:1. The Lord's not saying don't make those judgments, but He's just saying be careful. Watch for these things. He that is spiritual judgeth all things. And don't take that which is holy, give it to the dogs. Don't take the pearls and give it to swine. In the Bible, I've got to be careful in the day in which we live. In the Bible, dogs were not pets. All right, in the Bible, in Bible times, dogs were not pets. They weren't Fifi and Fido. All right, they were like what we would call wild animals. Wild dogs. They were vicious. They would tear flesh. They were violent. They were angry. That's what dogs were. And that's what Jesus is referring to when He says, take not that which is holy and give it to dogs. You know what Jesus said about the Gentiles? Who worshiped false gods? Who did not acknowledge the right God? Who were heathenistic in their practices? Who were vile and ungodly and wicked? The Gentiles were referred to by Jesus and the disciples as dogs. Remember the Syrophoenician woman, the Gentile woman that came to Jesus wanting her daughter to be healed. And Jesus said, it's not right to take the children's meat and give it to dogs. He was referring to the Gentiles. Before you and I were saved, we were classified as dogs. An unsaved person today, no matter how nice and sweet, are classified biblically as dogs. That's why unsaved folks don't like the Bible or Bible preaching. Because it's like a mirror where we see ourselves. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. An unsaved person, no matter how moral and clean outwardly, Jesus said, is like a dog who will return to its own vomit every time it gets an opportunity. Go back to the sinful ways of their life. So Jesus says, don't take that which is holy and cast it before dogs. And don't take the pearls and cast them before swine. The swine were the filthiest. The pigs were the filthiest of all animals. An abomination in the Old Testament to the Jews. They weren't to eat them. They weren't to touch them. That prodigal son, that Jewish boy that went to the far country and was eating the husks that the swine would eat, was at the lowest place he could possibly be. Unsaved, unregenerate human beings, in the eyes of God, are dogs and hogs. Now again, we don't like that. I don't like thinking that before I was converted, that was my description. I don't like thinking that unsaved family members or friends are that condition, but that the Lord is trying to give us the proper view of these things. And why would we take the things that are holy and give them to the dogs? Why would we take that which is valuable and give it to the swine? So letter B, I don't think I gave you the word, is the vile, V-I-L-E. The vile. That's what the dogs and the swine are. They're vile, they're unclean, they're unholy. And that's a description of the world that we live in. Don't go to the world for spiritual principles. The world is going to devalue that which is important and overvalue that which is not important. God help you and I as Christians if we get our philosophy of life from the view, from anything on television. And the sad thing is that multitudes of Christian people are absorbing that mentality through the tube all the time, and they don't even realize they're feeding on dog food. They're wallowing in the mire. And we need to be at a higher level. So there's the valuable, the vile, letter C. The end of verse 6 says, lest they trample them under their feet. Who's that? Well, the dogs, the hogs. They trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. We've seen the valuable, the vile. Letter C is the violent. The violent. Lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Can I say this as we get into this point about the violent, that disobeying the counsel of the Lord is a wrong thing to do. And it will come back upon you. Notice the last word, you. You cast your pearls before swine. You give that which is holy to the dogs, and they will come back and trample you. Notice this, number one, under the violent, they trample the gift. They trample the gift. That's what the first half of the verse says. Lest they trample them. All right, it says, verse 6, give, that's the gift, give not that which is holy unto dogs, lest they trample them under their feet. In Corinthians, Paul said this, that the world cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God, because they, the things of the Spirit of God, are spiritually discerned. An unsaved person cannot possibly understand the things of the Spirit of God. They can't handle that which is holy. They can't handle the pearls because they're dogs and swine. That's the picture of an unsaved person. So what will they do? They'll trample them under their feet. So that they trample them, then number two, they tear the giver. They tear the giver, and it says at the end of the verse, and turn again and rend you. You go to a friend, an unsaved friend. And let's paint the best picture. This unsaved friend might be a church-going person. They might be a very good person, a good neighbor, a good parent, a good child. But you know they're not redeemed. You know they're not saved. You know they've not been regenerated by the Spirit of God. What possible help can they give you and I in the things that are valuable? Psalm chapter 1, you know the verse, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And yet believers for some reason will confide in unsaved family members, unsaved friends, unsaved neighbors, and take the things of God, the things of the top shelf, and throw it down to the people that are eating off the ground. That's what dogs and hogs do. They eat off the ground. And we take the precious manna from the bread of heaven and throw it on the ground, and we get our counsel from those that do not understand the value we put on church, the value we put on family, the value we put on the Word of God. So Jesus is giving this warning, be careful, because they'll trample the gift and they'll tear the giver. You know, one of the first things my mentor taught me when I got saved. I mean a brand new Christian. And he told me this. He taught me this, and I didn't believe him at the time. I was a young Christian. He said, Steve, these guys that we're around, that we work with every day, that you think are your friends, he said, when push comes to shove, they'll turn on you in a heartbeat. And I didn't believe him. And I'm glad to say it never came to that. But now that I've grown in the Lord and seen some things, absolutely. You know what Jesus said? Parents shall turn against their children. Children against their parents. Brothers against sisters. They of their own household will be their enemies. Now I know again, context-wise, that's talking about a future time, the tribulation period. But practically speaking, that's exactly what we're talking about today. And those in which we confide the things of God that are unregenerate and unsaved, we're not going to get any benefit from that. They'll trample those things. You know what happens? A Christian goes to an unsaved person and says, well, I don't like what my pastor said. Now, I'm not preaching on this because somebody did this. I don't like what my preacher said, or I don't like what my church does, or I don't like the way we do that. And they go to an unsaved friend and say that. You know what that unsaved friend says? Well, I'm never going to church then. If the people that go to the church find fault with it, why would I go to it? Because it's going to be worse for me. And then they go and tell their neighbors, hey, my friend so-and-so goes to that church. I wouldn't go there because you know what he or she tells me? Well, they do this and they do that. You've just cast your pearl and put them before swine. You've just thrown that which is in the top left and thrown it down on the ground for the dogs and hogs. They tear the giver. All right, number one, that's the explanation. Quickly, number two, the examples. We've got to move quickly. The examples of this verse, and that's a wonderful thing about the Word of God. Read it, read it, read it, read it. Because when you find a principle or a counsel like you find in verse 6, and then you read throughout the Word of God, you find it put into practice by other people. First of all, small letter A, there's the example of the Savior. The example of the Savior in Matthew chapter 13, verse 10. And I'll read this, Matthew 13, 10. It's just a few pages over if you want to follow. Disciples came and said to Jesus, why speakest thou in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. You know how the Lord spoke in parables? So his disciples would understand it, but the dogs and the hogs would not. That simple. Verse 12, for whosoever hath to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance, for whosoever hath not from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Verse 13, therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, and they do not understand. Jesus he gave preferment to the spiritual. Those that would hear those things. Those would absorb those that would take them in. And those that would not, he didn't waste his time with. Notice letter B, the example of the saints. The example of the saints, and I'll just give one, Paul, the Apostle Paul, in Acts chapter 18. And you'll be familiar with this. Acts chapter 18 and verse 6, and when they had opposed themselves and blasphemed, Paul shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your heads, I am clean, from henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. When the Sanhedrin, when the Pharisees, when the Jews would not heed the preaching of the Apostle Paul, he said, all right, I'm not going to waste any more time with you. If you'll not receive it, I'm going to someone who will. We'll get onto this later on. We can spend a lot of time on the same person over and over and over again that just hardened their hearts without remedy. And we're wasting our time. Jesus spoke to where the believers would understand it and the unbelievers would not. Paul said, I'm done wasting my time with you. You've rejected it time and time and time. I'm going somewhere where the fruit will be fresh. I'm going where someone will receive what I have for them. These are the examples of the Savior, the saints. How about letter C, the example of the Scriptures? Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 9. Proverbs 23 and verse 9. Speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. There's some folks, I know this is hard. There's some folks that you just don't need to waste your time with. Now, I'm not telling you to take anybody off your prayer list. I'm not telling you to give up on anybody coming to Christ. You can pray for them. But don't spend a lot of your time and exert a lot of your energy on that one person that has just outright refused it when there are so many more that need the opportunity to hear it. That's what Jesus is talking about. So the examples, number two, then number three, the exhortations. The exhortations. How does this counsel apply? That's the important thing. How do we put it into practice? Cast not your pearl before swines. Give not that which is holy unto dogs. How do we put it into practice? Well, the exhortation, small letter A, is for counseling. For counseling. And when I say for counseling, I mean for giving counseling as well as for receiving counseling. And we've talked about this already, Psalm chapter 1, verse 1, about receiving the counsel of the world, the ungodly. Can I say this? If a man does not put God, or a man or woman does not put God first in everything, then he's wrong in every place of their life. You say, well, this guy is a financial wizard. He can help me and straighten me out in my finance. If God's not first, he can't help you at all. Because you know what's first in our finances? It's God. And an unregenerate, unsaved man has no concept of church, no concept of giving, no concept of tithing, no concept of missions. How in the world is he going to help you with your finances when number one is not God? Now take that to anything in your life. You're going to get counsel from this guy for this thing, this counsel for this guy and that thing, and God is not first in their life, the counsel can't be, it's going to be tainted. It might not be blasphemous, it might not be outright wrong, but it's got to be tainted because, as Psalm 10:4 says, God is not in all their thoughts. And when we go to a vacuum like that for advice and counsel, it can't be right. Now, in giving counsel, there are some that just aren't going to accept it. I've sat across the table from some folks where you say, if God's going to be first in your life, you've got to do this, this, and this. Well, no, we want to be right with God. We want to do the right things, but we don't want to go that far. You're wasting your time. Nothing more you can do. If they don't want to put God first, not much you can do with them. Pray for them. Pat them on the back. Tell them you love them. But don't spin your wheels. In counseling, letter B, for companionship. This is a no-brainer, isn't it? Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. All right? If a young person or old person in these days, whatever it is, if it's one that values the pearls and the holy, and the other person is a dog or a hog, how do you put those two together? How do you make that work? When one values the things that are valuable, the other values the things of dogs and hogs, and you put them together as a couple, I guarantee you, which one changes to the other side? So in companionship. Letter C, for church. For church. Again, the exhortation, and we've talked about this already, don't take the place of value and make it a place of worldly entertainment. We don't come to church for excitement. Now, I always like it when church is exciting. But we don't come to church for excitement. We don't come to church. If we come to church to be pumped up, then something's wrong with our spiritual life. Because on Monday, there's going to be nobody to pump you up. On Tuesday, nobody to pump you up. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, nothing to pump you up if you get pumped up in church. We get fed in church. We get taught in church. We get reproved by the Spirit of God through the Word of God in church. It's not a place of uplifting. Bob Jones Sr. used to say, if the preacher doesn't make me mad, he's not any good. If the preaching of the Word of God and the Spirit of the Word of God don't convict us from time to time and make us feel just plain lousy, then nothing good's happening. If I stand up here with a big old smile on my face and promise you that you're a bunch of greyhounds that are running a race for God. I heard Joel Osteen say that one time. I said, he just called them dogs and they don't even know it. He said, you're a bunch of greyhounds running a race for God. But if you just get the power of positive thinking and all this uplifting stuff and entertainment and you walk out and you've not been convicted and you've not heard from God, you've wasted your time. You've taken that which is on the top shelf and put it on the bottom. Yeah, you made people feel good. You drew a big crowd. You patted them on the back and you sent them out a dog and a hog. No difference, no change. Then finally, letter D, conduct. The exhortation for conduct. How do we act? Do we act like we're living on the spiritual plane? Or are we living on the level of dogs and hogs? As a born-again believer, as a child of God, as a blood-washed saint, should we be living like dogs? Should we appear to the world like swine? Or should we not have a value? I'm not talking about our nose up in the air, holier than thou, better than everybody else. But when they look on us, they ought to see somebody that's not got their nose down in the vomit, not their body down in the mire, but somebody that's living above that, on a higher plane, with better values, and a better person. That's what Jesus is talking about in verse 6. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs. Neither cast ye your pearl before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Counsel concerning preferment. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time together. We pray that you'd use the word of God to bless and challenge us. Lord, teach